That's a fine try to get.
You can hear my burgers, you can hear my burgers, you can hear my burgers.
That was less than 5 minutes. That was less than S minutes as well.
Well, yeah, it was. I didn't have to go far. I'm in the shop, I just had to walk over.
Okay, so when you say back in five, you mean 5 seconds? Is that what it was meant to imply?
Yes.
I think five,
five decaseconds? But yeah, but back in a decasecond.
Which is a decasecond would be, it would be like 10 seconds.
It would be exactly 10 seconds, yes.
Yes.
It would have
I use unnecessary qualifiers all the time. It makes me sound, it makes me sound less smart because, you know, if I sounded exactly as smart as I was, then people wouldn't like to hang around with me. Well, except for, I guess I could, find smarter people to hang out with.
But. Yeah, nobody wants to hang around an idiot, James. It's best that you keep up the facade.
There's a quote that says that people enjoy the inferiority of their best friends.
Yeah. And we're as close as pals can be.
We're the best damn friends that were ever friends. I don't know the song from The Hangover.
Can you guess what I'm drinking today?
Is it bourbon?
No.
Is it old whiskey?
No.
Is it Coca-Cola?
That's a lot of whiskey.
Volume does not seem to hinder you.
Fair enough.
In general. I mean, you know Sunny Weathers. I mean, I know Sunny Weathers, and you, sir, I know Sunny Weathers, but yeah.
Yeah, I can't grow a beard.
You've been known to knock back in your... Yeah, he's looking lumberjacky these days. Do I know him well enough to say lumberjacky? Should I call him a lumberjack?
It's less lumberjack, more like grizzled sea captain. Like, I expect to see him pull up in like an old, like the Orca, you know, and like get out and be like, all right, we're going to catch her today, sir. Like that kind of shit.
I'm tired and I want to go home. I can't remember the first line of that song. Anyway, what are you drinking?
Show me the way to go home. Boom, boom, boom. Tired and I want to
go to bed.
I had a little drink about an hour ago, and it went straight to my head.
Oh, yeah. So what are you drinking?
Goes. It's plum wine.
Yeah, because I was supposed to guess that.
Yeah, I don't. You weren't going to. It's very weird. No, I got it for Carol because every now and then she likes plum wine, but I got her a new kind that is like cooking sherry with a plum that farted in it. Like it's piss. So she's not going to drink it, and I'm like, well, might as well.
I got a podcast to do.
Give it a home.
Sorry, I just reminded myself of. You remember reshoes? Did you ever do reshoes? You did reshoes.
No, reshoes was right before I started.
Oh, okay, but you're familiar with what it was. There was a guy named Pete Reshoe who owned the place, and Adam Wilson used to ask old Pete Reshoe how his wife was doing. He's like, "How's the wife?" And Pete Reshoe would respond, "Better than nothing." And that's how Pete Reshoe talked.
And that's pretty much the extent of my
knowledge. Yeah, it's pretty much the extent of my knowledge of him. Anyway. I didn't notice until you said the word plum wine that there was a yellow square in the top of my screen.
Yeah.
It's more of a rectangle.
So with that, hey, James.
Welcome to Dork.
James.
Yes. Hey, James. Nick.
Welcome to Dork.
Hello, I'm James Brown.
And I'm Nick Moore.
Welcome to Dork.
Welcome to Dork.
When did you start it? When you walked away, didn't you?
Yeah, right before I went to fix the AC.
Okay, you've got me blowing my nose to start off the episode. Are you happy?
Yes, very. The only thing that would make me happier is if you were caught masturbating. Or, like, if I walked off and I just, like, when I synced it up with the music and everything, I just hear you going, "That son of a bitch, I swear to fucking God. You come back, I'll stab you in your goddamn throat, you motherfucker." I know. Hey, Nick. Like, that's what I want.
So that in 3 years, when you're found dead, you know, on with your head underneath a steamroller, then, you know, they have the list of suspects. I'm like, all right, On May 18th, 2015, James Brown was quoted saying, "Fuck that son of a bitch, Nick Moore. Do you deny this?" "I deny nothing. I have the right to protect my race."
"You have the right to commit murder."
Sorry, I leapt into Star Trek 4 for some reason.
No.
This is Star Trek 3.
Oh.
Star Trek 4. That was Star Trek 4.
What was the plot?
Well, it was, yeah, the guys were still off. They were on. Okay. And, like, have these adventures and run across the Klingons. And then Genesis, you know, collapses on itself. And then they wind up on Vulcan at the very end. And at the beginning of Star Trek 4, they're on Vulcan and, like, on their way back. But meanwhile on Earth, the Klingon ambassador and is, like, complaining. Is like, "We want... Yeah, that's right." Because he's complaining that they killed all those Klingons by blowing up the Enterprise, which happened in Star Trek 3. And the Klingon ambassador is like, "We want Kirk's head." And they're like, "But you did this, and you, like, killed all these, you know, people." And then Kirk exploded his own ship to, you know, save him. It's like, "We deny nothing. We have the right to protect our race." And then Sarek, you know, Spock's father, walks in and says, "You have the right to commit murder." And this is me geeking out for no reason. All right, I'm going to shut up now.
It's the place for it, James. This is a safe place.
Yes. I feel safe.
So, James.
Yes.
Do you have $12 million to blow?
If I did, I wouldn't. Because they would have already blown it. But what perchance of do you speak, which?
What in the world would you have blown it on?
Blowjobs, for one thing. That'd be a great thing.
$12 million?
$12 million worth of blowjobs?
Jeez, that better I would be like the magic.
I would have prostitutes on retainer for $12 million.
Yeah, there's no way.
I mean, I'd have them in like a bunch of different cities. So I'm like, I'm going to Vegas. I'm going to guarantee myself some blowjobs.
There's no way I could blow that money on one orgasm, or even a handful. That's a lot of money.
No. That's like, I mean, but that's like guaranteeing you, you know, orgasms, you know, on a very regular basis for the next 20 years. That's the kind of security I look for.
Well, the most expensive home in Baton Rouge is up for sale.
Is it Nick Saban's or Les Miles's?
No, it's the Pennington Mansion on Highland Road.
Oh, only the Pennington man will pass.
Yes. It's the one where you drive by and you're like, "What is that? A fucking golf course?" No, it's not. It's one house, sitting on 12.5 acres. The house itself
you have to see it like Robin Leach.
This palatial home sits on 12.5 acres and has a massive 36,689 square feet. Stepping inside instantly transports you from the southern area of East Baton Rouge to an Italian castle.
See, that's perfect. Well done.
Are for a long time, that? It was listed at $18 million. But they recently dropped the price to $12 million because no one wants to buy an $18 million house in Baton Rouge.
I can see that. I'm kind of surprised they want to buy a $12 million house in Baton Rouge. But, you know, to each his own.
There are 9 bedrooms, just as many bathrooms, plus 3 half baths. In addition to the usual living room and dining room, the home includes a living room, home theater, gym, wine room, and a grand salon.
Like there's one gym. Oh, GYM. Never mind. I thought it was like, you know, like a diamond or something sitting around.
Speaking of diamonds, this is both a luxurious gym and a private hideaway. The price tag requires a near $58,000 a month mortgage. But there have been several interested parties. Yeah, that's bullshit. Large pool in the backyard where there's an outdoor kitchen and gas wood burning pizza oven.
Ooh, that'd be interesting.
Yeah, that better be some. Better be fucking fascinating for $12 million. I mean, it's a nice place, but Jesus.
Yeah, I don't think I could live alone or like even like with a single family there. I would have to like invite like my brother and sister and, you know, or like, you know, like my cousin and his family or something. Yeah.
You have to bring in the homeless.
Yeah.
You okay, James? Pardon me.
No, I've got tuberculosis. No, I've been coughing, but I'm like better today than I was yesterday. But not as bad as the day before.
Yeah, I choked on a breakfast sandwich. Yeah, oh, yeah. I don't choke on cock. I'm a pro. You got to open it up like when you're hitting them, like opera singing. You just open the back of the throat and just let it slide down.
La, 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 la.
Yeah, you want to punch your uvula with the head of the cock. So no, not that. No, but it's a corner of a breakfast sandwich. Like I just a little bitty tiny piece. Like almost went into my lungs, and so it. Like I've been quietly eating at the office, you know, took a bite and just didn't pay attention. I've eaten for a while, you know, I've been doing it for a long time, and one little tiny piece went the wrong way. And so I went from just being quiet, enjoying my morning coffee, and then just. And I got it up. But it's like.
Tortured by Soviet spies or something? What the hell just happened?
Nobody questioned it.
They're like, ah, whatever.
There wasn't, dude, nothing. Nobody poked their head in. They're just like, well, there's a lot of old guys in my office, and they kind of make those noises all the time, like randomly. It's not moving something or getting up or anything. It's just walking down the hall. What? All right.
You sound like they've just been attacked by like Bruce Lee from the grave or something.
I used to have a when I was in sixth grade, my social studies teacher, Ms. Johnson, would randomly like we'd be sitting in class, and I remember because it was a small class, there were only eight of us in the class, and we'd be sitting there like doing like silent reading or taking a test or something. And she'd be at her desk with her head down, like writing or whatever. And she'd just go, out of nowhere. Like we kind of look up and like look at each other. That wasn't me, right? You heard that. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Put your head back down. And like 5 minutes go by and you hear, like little moany sounds. Like she had like one of those pocket vibrators or something going on. And she didn't look up, nothing. I mean, not the weirdest fucking thing that ever happened to me in a classroom. That was when my Civil War history teacher pulled his face out. No, it wasn't Civil War history. It was, I did have a Civil War.
No, that wouldn't be the part of the story you need to correct.
Well, my Civil War teacher had a heart attack in class.
Oh.
And like, was just like, no, it's okay. I think I'm, and it collapsed. No, it was a.
You'll keep working on your assignments?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's a prolific lecturer. I actually enjoyed his class. It was very entertaining. There were like 200 people in it, but it was still one of the better classes I've ever taken. But
This was not sixth grade.
No, this was in college.
Oh yeah.
No, I had an English teacher in college who pulled his face out. I think I might have mentioned this before.
I don't think you did.
Like he used to.
Not with me on the air.
In the middle of talking. Like he'd be talking in the middle of it. He'd just go, like kind of like a stutter, but more like a tick. You know, it wasn't like he was stuck on the word. It was like he'd just been seized by a little, you know, like a little tick.
Right.
Like that. Right.
Right.
So we got used to it. And by the end of the semester, you know, we know this guy. No, we do. Every now and then he goes, but whatever. He keeps us engaged. So he's talking, and just like he's not doing this, he's talking, and then quickly pulls out his entire top palate.
Kind of like, did you see Skyfall?
No.
The movie? There's a scene where Javier Bardem, like, takes out, like, grabs his front teeth and pulls, and, like, this thing comes out. It's like more than the top of his mouth, and like, you know, goes underneath his cheeks where his cheeks are, and like, you know, his face looks entirely different afterwards. Like it kind of collapses on itself in parts, and it's all like weird and wonky. And he puts it back up. You know, he puts it back in, and he looks like Javier Bardem usually, but like he looks totally different. Like he's like, you know, been hit in the face with, you know, seven shovels.
Yikes!
Is it kind of like that?
His head didn't collapse, but he took out something substantial from his face. Like, yeah. He took it out. It wasn't like a retainer, and it wasn't like, right, you know, a little inset of teeth. It was his face, and he took it out, and he put it in a napkin, which he then put in his briefcase in one motion, and didn't stop talking. Like
he's done it 1,000 times.
Yeah, but he didn't stop talking, and he did acknowledge that he just did this. He was just like, la, 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 and English is great, and literature, and blah, blah. He was a big fan of Being John Malkovich, the movie. He would just go off on rants on that sometimes. So, yeah, John Malkovich, blah, blah, blah. And so John Malkovich, blah, blah. And we're all done. The whole class. Just kind of looking at each other. It was a senior level class. Like, we were like looking around going, hey, man, you want to acknowledge that shit? No? All right, being John Malkovich again.
All right. Come on, big deal. Want to fight about it? No, apparently not. You don't even talk about it.
Who are we really? Ha, ha, ha. Yeah.
Take the first face out. The first rule of removable faces is you do not talk about removable faces.
And he didn't. Oh, man. Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, I imagine it would be.
So did you see the long-form trailer for this fall's upcoming CBS show, Supergirl?
You know, I did not, and I really should have.
You know, it looks like Kara McBeal. Kara McBeal. Like, oh, Ally McBeal, starring.
Except Kara is Supergirl. Yes, yes, yes. I got you now. Yeah. I'm picking up what you're throwing down.
Dude, a lot of people were pissed. They were like, are you fucking kidding? Like, with all the good shows that have been done, you know, CBS owns CW. Like, they've done Arrow, they've done Flash. They get the vibe. They know how to do it. And you see in this preview, you know, she's working in an office and she's literally bringing people coffee, and she walks in and meets this guy, and he's like, hi, I'm Jimmy Olsen. And she's like, like, forgets how to talk and shit, and you're like, yeah, are you fucking real? Seriously? Oh, I'm Supergirl. I could crush your head with one hand, but oh, Jimmy Olsen's so dreamy. What am I going to do? Throws it all off. I mean, the action sequences look kind of cool, but I don't know. It looks like Aaron Spelling's Supergirl.
Really?
It looks.
I'm still surprised that, like, you know, even in this day and age, the, like, Marvel, you know, was on the right track with Peggy Carter, I think, with, you know, with Agent Carter.
Agent Carter,
but
yeah.
there's been a shortfall of, like, strong female lead characters. Like, there have been, like, some supporting female characters that have been like, oh, you know, she's reliable. You know, I mean, I actually haven't watched a lot of Arrow, but he's got that blonde chick with the glasses. And when she shows up on Flash, it's like, oh, well, you know, she's someone you can count on and can, like, be really capable and do things. But, like, even in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, there's not been a movie where, like, there's a character, like, Black Widow is still, like, you know, basically a supporting character. And it's kind of disheartening, like, once DC comes up and is like, oh, we're going to do Supergirl, and, like, all the women in the, like comics are like, all right, you know, one for our side.
It's like Archie. It's like an Archie comic of Supergirl.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Betty and Veronica had so much going for them.
Now, Legends of Tomorrow, I saw a preview for that. I don't think that's started yet. Legends of Tomorrow is the Arrow Flash spinoff. It's got Hawkgirl in it.
Hawkgirl?
Yeah.
Hawkgirl?
Yeah. Yeah. And she looks hardcore.
Yeah. Well, she'd have to be. Otherwise, she's not really a hot girl.
Hmm.
Kind of like that Jim and the Holograms thing. Everyone's like, that's not really Jim.
Dude, a lot of people were really pissed about the Jim thing. The angriest people on my Facebook feed were the gay guys. They were furious. Furious. My friend Corey, he played Rod to my Nikki in Avenue Q.
Yeah.
When we did that. Very gay. Like all the gays. But he was pissed. He was livid. He's like, Nick, this is bullshit. I was like, yeah, it is. I mean, he went off on Facebook. Just absolutely non-belief. Carol was pretty pissed too. She, Corey was the first person she texted after she saw it. She's like, Corey, can you believe this shit? I was like, no.
Yeah, I mean, I listen to the IGN movie, you know, genre movie podcast weekly, and I had to endure like 20 minutes of one of the co-hosts like ranting about everything that's wrong with the new Jim and the Holograms, which, you know, like usually they're talking about Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, you know, but now it's like Jim and the Holograms, and like there's no synergy, and she's not a business executive, she's not leading the double life that she created for herself to protect herself and the secrets of her company and her father's legacy, and like, you know. It's very different, apparently. But, you know, I only know it from the, you know, the few dozen times I watched it. Myself.
Well, Carol and I started watching it because it popped up on Netflix. And I think it's still there. I personally have no tie to Jim and the Holograms.
No dog in this fight.
Although I am a bit partial to the Misfits. I've always liked that kind of broken wing. You know, I like a chick with a little too much eye makeup on. Yeah, it looks like
they all had eye makeup on it. Yeah,
they all had lots of eye makeup. Like Joan Jett and the Blackhearts.
Yeah, that's a pretty good analogy. Except all their songs are about like how, you know, mean and egocentric they were.
Yeah, but you know, you need your band to have an identity.
They definitely had that. For. Yeah,
they were Misfits, James.
They were Misfits,
but there are no Misfits in the movie. There will be no adventures. There'll just be a girl who is a YouTube, is Justin Bieber, basically. Justin Bieber meets Destiny's Child, becomes Beyonce, and learns that friends are the most important thing ever. Blah, blah, stupid crap. Yeah. There's a whole generation of Hollywood executive that has to die, I think, before that shit will stop being made. Because if you ever listen to a director talk about what it's like meeting with producers and stuff, they're like, these people are idiots. Idiots. Like, if they had any idea what the public is after and what's cool, they would just let it, you know, am I not making noise? Okay, now you're not making noise. James? I see you. I don't hear you.
Now?
Now I hear you.
Okay. Okay. So the mute button, I press it once and I'm muted. I press it again and then I'm unmuted. I thought it was I had to hold it down to be muted. But apparently you still didn't hear me go into a coughing fit earlier.
No.
Okay, good. That was the main thing.
No, all I saw was like you kind of stopped and you touched your ear. And then you looked like you were talking. Like, intently. But no noise was happening.
You look like you're, like, trying to set the world record for cunnilingus or blowjobbing. Blowjobbing?
Yeah, chicks don't like that. Like, you see guys in porn eating a chick out, and it looks like the chick should be going, okay, I get it, yes. You're not getting paid by the mile. Let's slow it down. But she doesn't do that. She's like, ooh, yes, ooh, baby, ooh.
Ooh, baby.
Ooh, that's why they're so down for anal. It's because you just spent 15 minutes trashing their junk.
Yeah. And also, like, you know, if you're being paid for it, then you're gonna be like, show your best face no matter what's happening. I've never seen a porn where the girl's like, stop, this is not working for me.
No, I did see one where a chick was banging a huge guy and he's just like railing her and she's much smaller than him, but you can see kind of in her face like this look of like, okay, wait, time out, but she can't go anywhere. Like, she's she looked off camera and she's like, no.
So I didn't sign on for this.
And like the director went and because the guy
like
just,
like Nero, like thumbs down.
Yeah. Adios. Good luck for you. She finished like a champ, but yikes.
Yeah, she probably didn't work for the next few days. And by work. How's that plum wine, Nick?
That's awful.
Does it taste like the quarter of a breakfast sandwich?
No. It tastes like asbestos and spittoon drip.
So is there a thing called like a second bestest that doesn't really like, you know, give you as much cancer?
No.
Okay.
It just adds on rectal cancer.
Rectal? Damn near killed all.
So have you seen any of the many, many leaks out of Suicide Squad?
I've seen pictures. I've seen images. I haven't seen any, just pictures and stuff.
Did you see the ones of Harlequin and Joker?
Where yes.
He gets out of his car?
I believe that's one. Yeah.
Yeah, they're leaking a lot. It's going to
be very interesting. Yeah, I think some of that's on purpose.
Yeah. I'm not...
They're kind of like using the internet as their focus group.
Yes, very much so. And I think they're also trying to keep buzz up because they don't have anything coming out for a year. And they're like, hey, we're doing things. Look at us.
Yeah, we talked about this. The whole, like, the way that Marvel is, like, all over everything. And it's like, oh, the new Avengers movie, new Spider-Man's happening, you know. And, like, and they have, you know, Marvel obviously has TV presence. DC has a TV presence, but very little, you know, movie presence at the moment. So they're, like, trying to play up what they got.
I don't know. I haven't turned against the new Joker. Like, even if he ends up being the dude with all the tattoos and shit. Like, I'm like, all right, let's give it a swing. At this point, when it comes to Batman villains and, you know, Batman, you have to kind of go, all right, hey, let's slow our roll here. Shit started with Michael Keaton, and it has continued with every Batman, every character, every casting, all the way till now. Why don't we all just take a breath? And let's see before we freak the fuck out.
Exactly.
But I think Margot Robbie makes a fucking great Harley Quinn.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I think it'll work.
Yep.
Impressive. Most impressive.
And I saw a couple leaks from the Civil War set of Crossbones. Did you catch any of that?
No.
Okay, the dude in Winter Soldier that got all burned up and exploded.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, him, he becomes Crossbones.
Right.
And so there are some shots of that dude, and he looks good, but they've got like these big metal hands, like boxing gloves on him, so they can take on Captain America, I guess.
So we'll see. You always need a little extra things.
Yeah. We'll see how that works. What else? There's one more thingamabob. No?
I'm trying to the Crossbones winner, Crossbones real name.
Oh, you're looking up the character history?
Well, I was just looking at him up in general and seeing what came up. Because he likes to punch the Captain America, apparently.
Oh, there's lots of pictures of him punching Captain America in the face?
Or trying to, anyway. He's throwing punches at Captain America, but it's Captain America, so he's like, I'm just going to move.
I'm the captain.
I make it happen.
I'm the captain, bitch.
I'm the captain. I make it happen. What was the other thing that was happening in the world? Jim and the Holograms, Marvel. Oh, yeah. Have you seen the movie, Nick?
No, not yet. I told you it was an empty promise. I told you.
I will tell you and anyone else who has not seen it that there's nothing after the credits. There's a stinger, like the mid-credit usually one.
Mm-hmm.
After like, you know, there's a nice like thing at the end where they're like showing like who the main principal characters or actors are and stuff. And then they have a stinger and then they show the regular credits, but there's nothing after all of the credits. So you don't have to, unless you're like interested in like who the key grip was, then you don't have to stay all the way to the end. Or the best boy, or all the gaffers. Although Danny Elfman did do some of the music on this one, so I was pretty pleased with that part.
Okay.
Okay, donkey.
And then B.B. King died, but we don't have to talk about that on here.
Yeah. Like, as soon as I saw that, B.B. King died, I knew my day was going to be spent seeing people posting about what a loss B.B. King was. And I'm all day, I'm just like, you don't listen to the blues. I know that. I know you. I know you're not sitting there going, the thrill is gone, baby. Like, all day. You're just like, oh, B.B. King. Oh, he's a blues guitarist. He's very famous. I will tell people I mourn his passing.
Oh, yeah, man. The world is lost.
That's like an 80-year-old man. Like, sorry. Billy Gibbons posted that the world, he couldn't imagine a world without B.B. King in it. The, you know, the guitarist from ZZ Top. And I believe that. Okay, he's a blues musician. He's known B.B. King. He's played with B.B. King. But that guy should be posting on Facebook, this is a loss. I'm sorry to see my friend go. Fair enough. But, hey, guy that I used to work at the restaurant with, you didn't listen to B.B. King. You listened to Smash Mouth. Greatest Hits on a loop. Like, you don't care.
Yeah, you don't care. You don't know nothing. You don't know nothing about no King.
Well, that shit just drives me nuts. When people are like, oh, it's such a... I've been mourning his passing. Motherfucker, you don't know. You just didn't have anything to say today. And so you were like, oh, B.B. King died. I give a fuck. You don't give a fuck. You don't. That shit annoys me.
Who's the last big like celebrity person that died that you were just like, oh, fuck, I can't believe that. Oh, man.
Shit.
I mean, Leonard Nimoy comes to mind, obviously, because it was just recently. And like,
yeah, but he was one I was expecting him to die. Like, I kept waiting. It's like, this dude's really overdue. Especially after the last Star Trek where, when you see him, and you're just like, Jesus, man. What? Stop it.
The deeds of the many, Kirk.
I wear the stink in the pew. Okay.
I am emotionally compromised.
I don't know, man. I'm thinking. Who died last year, James?
Paul Walker.
No, I wouldn't. Nobody gave a fuck about that dude. That dude was a punchline until he died. And then everybody's like, oh, Paul Walker. I was like, James Dean. No, you didn't care. You didn't care.
I can't believe Paul Walker was the first person I thought of. Robin Williams died last year, and Paul Walker was the first person I thought of.
Robin Williams, yeah, Robin Williams kind of got me. I was just like, oh, just because, if you heard him on podcasts and stuff for the last, 5 years, you just, were waiting for it. Because he's been depressed for a long time. So it was, hearing that Robin Williams had died, I was like, oh, that sucks. But to be honest, I was more... Once again, it was Robin Williams. He'd been depressed for a long time. When it happened, I was shocked but not surprised,
I understand what you're saying.
Because he'd been fighting severe depression for a really long time. I was more heartbroken when I realized that Bill Cosby was a rapist than when Robin Williams killed himself. Because I always enjoyed Robin Williams' stuff when I was a kid. As I got older, I found it kind of annoying just because he's very manic. And I was like, yeah, I guess I could see the appeal in the 80s, but he was never a big... Like, he wasn't the reason I started doing stand-up. Bill Cosby was the reason I started doing stand-up.
Yeah.
It was like when the preacher I really liked, when I found out that he was a sexual deviant.
Jimmy Swaggart?
No. You don't know him. But, I was just like, oh, okay, well, that stings,
Yeah.
Yeah, that...
It's just funny, because Philip Seymour Hoffman died also, and... It's what's like when you think, oh, then Paul Walker was the first person to came up.
Like Philip Seymour Hoffman, he was, again, a great actor, but he had a heroin overdose. It's sad for his kids, but he was a fucking idiot. Like, don't do that, folks. He didn't die saving people from a burning building. He died because he was doing heroin, a lot.
Yeah.
And I understand that. Addiction is this whole monster. If it's for an Irishman, I get it. I understand. But At the same time, I never... It's the same thing with suicide. I don't know. It may be cynical on my part, but like there are times where you're like, okay, I wish there that person would have said something, or if somebody would have reached out at the right time, or, you know, I guess I saw the signs, but I never really acted on that kind of thing. But right. Then there are some people who commit suicide and you're like, okay, I mean, I wish they were still around, but that was their call. You know, particularly in a case of somebody with like a degenerative disease or something like that. But then there are people who like Doug Stanhope put it really well. He was like, look, if you've lived your life and you know, you keep busting over and over again, there's not a chance you're going to get a royal flush out of nowhere. So why not cash out? Which is a little more cynical than the way I see it. But like, if someone really thinks that they, you know, they've given it an honest shot, they want to tap out, I don't go, well, he was a hero or he was so brave, or I'm like, I wish he hadn't done that.
Yeah. You know? These are the decisions that he's made, you know, given what he was dealt.
Yeah. I mean, it's rougher on everybody you leave behind, but you know, some of these people are just in like God awful non-ending just despair. And it's not, if you don't experience it, you can't really sympathize with it, I guess. But if you listen to like Robin Williams' WTF interview with Mark Maron that he did a year or so before he committed suicide, you can hear it in his voice. Like he had been so tired for so long, and he was broken inside. He was just completely crushed, and he didn't think there was any way out. He had a lot of stuff going down at the same time too.
Right.
Like he had two divorces, I think he was paying alimony for, and everything he made was just, he had to just sold his ranch in California that he had been living on for forever to pay off all this stuff. And he was having to take work that he didn't want to take just for the paycheck. Like all those Night at the Museum movies.
Yeah.
He only did that for the paycheck. He was like, I shouldn't be doing that at this point in my career. I shouldn't be taking these god-awful things. And he was just, you know, even if it wasn't for like all the other stuff he had going on, to put all that other on top of it, that would just exacerbate the guy who's already got
near the end of his rope.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is kind of sad to think that someone could contribute so much to culture and then still be at such ends, to be in a position where, you know, the best choice he can make was to end his life.
Yeah, but I mean, when you have such serious highs, the lows seem that much lower.
Yeah, I guess that's true as well.
You're
playing at bigger stakes.
Yeah. I don't know. I've known several people that committed suicide, so it's not like this theoretical thing. Like, I've known people that have killed themselves, and several of them, like in high school, I was like, ah, shit. Like I like, there was a girl that was getting molested by her dad, and she had said something about it to like one person, and that person had, you know, that person felt really bad afterwards because they never said anything. But like, that was a big like, shit. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
There was another guy I tell you about, Daryl Tan. This guy I went to middle school with, who went his freshman year of high school, he was taking like college level calculus, and he got a C.
Yeah. Oh.
And shot himself.
Have I heard about? Did you talk about this before?
I think I may have told you about him before. Yeah. That was another one where you're just like, dude, like high school is a big time because you don't have anything to compare it with. And high school suicides, I have a problem with that because you're a kid. You don't know that it gets better. Like, it's not as intense as you think it is. You're going to live through this, and like horrible shit's going to happen. You're going to move beyond.
But if that's all you know, then you don't realize what the comparison is. So, I mean, you make that. We were talking about some other, like, you know, kid that, like, you know, his parents had found out he was gay or something like that, and he like walked into traffic, or maybe we weren't talking about it, but I remember. Remember all this, and like when you're in that position, that's your entire world. And so when your entire world is a shitstorm, then you can't see outside of it to make that call. That's why they had that whole "It Gets Better" campaign, because you know they needed to remind kids that it does get better. I mean, that's specifically for, you know, sexual orientation issues, but I mean, a lot of kids when they're
I
in,
I think that should apply to a lot.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
yeah. Find somebody that knows that is old. Like, find somebody that's like twice your age, and tell them what's going on, that you're thinking of killing yourself, and they will laugh in your face and go, "Oh, dude, if that's you think as bad as it's going to get, and you can't ever get like," I'm trying to think of shit that, like, when I was a senior in high school, if I hadn't graduated, there was a chance that I wasn't going to pass chemistry that year. Uh-huh. And I think if I had not graduated, I was seriously considering suicide. Like, I had a gun and everything.
Oh.
Yeah, it was stupid, but I put that much stake on it. I was like, if I don't graduate, I can't. That's gonna be such an embarrassment to my family that I can't, you know, I couldn't live with it. Looking back on it now, I just want to slap. There's a lot of things I look back on where I just want to slap that kid in the face. But like another one of my friends who's gay, his parents, like when he realized he was gay, his parents were super religious, and he knew that. Like, his mom still barely talks to him, and she sends him all these like little religious tracts and stuff like that. But he was like, yeah, I mean, after getting over that, I don't give a shit. Like he got over something really awful. Or people I know that, like, got pregnant in high school. Like, that's it. That's the end. My life's over. And it, in no way is it over. Like, that's just, things have changed. It's taking a different direction, but it's not over.
And, you know, like, those transitions are the most stressful times in your life. But, like, you know, they are only times in your life, and you get past those times, and mm-hmm. this too shall pass. And this has become a very different episode than it started out as.
Yeah, but I just, like, you compare that to someone who is, say, 30 and feels like there's no way out, and they're just like, I can't go on anymore. I've pursued all these other venues. I've tried talking about it. I've tried all these other recourses. I don't see an end to it. I've tried drugs and alcohol, and they've brought me no joy. I've gone to the Orient and discovered the pleasures of the flesh I never knew existed. I opened the Lemond configuration, and out came the Cenobites, and they had nothing to offer me. So it's time to consider that last option.
Yeah.
I do own a couple copies of Final Exit.
Oh, the Jack Kevorkian?
No, Jack Kevorkian didn't write it. I can't remember the guy who wrote it.
But it's the one that was discussed when he was
out doing his business, yeah.
Yeah. God, yeah, I'm so glad I didn't accidentally say Jack Kerouac, because that's totally different.
Different Jack, sure. different Mr. K. But that may have clouded my perception a lot too, just reading that, because the guy dealt with his dad or his mom. It was one of his parents that was looking in their life, and so he couldn't find a resource. Sorry about the book. He couldn't find a resource to help them in their life in a dignified manner, you know, not hitting themselves or blowing their head off or something like that. So he researched it with the help of different physicians, found out the best way to do it.
Derek Humphrey.
Which has since changed from what is in the book. In the book, he recommended, like, Secanol, but now they widely recommend Helium, the Veritas. Is it the Veritas group? I can't remember. There's a group that really pushes for the for death with dignity.
Yeah. That would be the kind of name that they would have, Veritas.
Something like that.
It's interesting subtitle to it. Final Exit, The Practicalities of Self-Deliverance and Assisted Suicide for the Dying.
Yeah.
Self-deliverance is an interesting way to say that. Anyhow. Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm going to take my swig of my drink as well.
Juice.
Jews?
Yeah,
Fred.
Terry Pratchett has talked very publicly about committing suicide.
Yeah.
Because he had
the Alzheimer's. Yeah.
But in the end, he didn't. He died naturally. But he made that same case. He's just like, look, I don't want to deteriorate like that. I've had that conversation with Carol too, where I'm just like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, and there's an argument about whether or not if you lose your faculties, like if you're the same person, you know. Yeah. So like technically the person you were has already ceased to exist at one point, you know?
Yeah.
Cause I mean, and it goes back to Aristotle and the definition of the self, and you know, how in order to any particular item or thing or person or soul, they all have a function, and the function of humans is to reason. And so like to be happy is to fulfill your function, and to be happy is to reason well. But if you can't reason well, and it's like, you know, fulfilling your function is also part of your definition. So if you cannot reason, or you cannot reason in the fashion that you're used to, then you're not, you know, being the human being that you are. So if you function at one point and reason at one point, you're existing. And then like if you cease to be able to reason, then you cease to be that individual. This is a really weird episode now.
Yeah, it is a weird word.
So, like, I mean, if you always say, like, are you the same person, you know? And it's kind of weird because, like, when my grandfather had Alzheimer's and it was bad, or, you know, it was, you know, he would, like, be forgetful and stuff. But then at one point he had a stroke, and at that point it, like, multiplied the Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even that he got stuck in, like, a certain year and, like, couldn't remember things after, like, 1990 or something like that. It was, like, he just wasn't the same person at all. Like, he didn't recognize us, and he was, like, making totally disconnected, his thinking was totally disconnected. He would connect one thought or association to a different idea entirely than he would have beforehand. So, I mean, he was a completely different person. Yeah. He wound up dying within the next, you know, few years, but it was just really weird those last few years. It was just, I mean, he wasn't, you know, the guy that I grew up knowing at all. He wasn't the strong, you know, patriarch of our family that he had been previous to that. So, I mean, I can understand not wanting to give memories of those final years to your friends and loved ones, because you're not experiencing the life you were before. I don't even know what you would, you know, from your standpoint, like how you would perceive things relative to how you would perceive them before, like being able to, like, you know, recall things or reason things, or, like, you know, do simple, you know, connect simple concepts in your head.
We had a friend of ours that died recently of Alzheimer's, and she, when it first, she had her master's in library science, like she was very smart, and it crept on. Like, she, there was a point where she kind of knew it was coming on because she had a family history of early onset Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
And they were in Belgium, I think. And she was walking back to the apartment they were staying at and kind of got confused as to where she was. And that's when she started, you know, realizing something was going on. But she was still there, you know?
Right, right.
But she was aware that she was losing certain things. And so there was a time, there came a point where she and her husband were going through and kind of going through her stuff and kind of making preparations for, like, okay, we have you now, but we're not going to have you soon. And she was boxing up her master's degree. She put it in a box and she's like, I don't know. I kind of want to hang on to it because it reminds me of when I was smart.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I would hate to get to that point. You know, I don't want to get to the point where, like being a big guy, I think it's even harder. To like I twisted my ankle a while back. Something happened where I couldn't put weight on my leg, and so I was on crutches for 2 days.
Right.
And Carol would, like, run ahead of me to open doors, and I'd be like, don't do it. I can do it. I can open the door. Don't worry about it. And I would, like, fumble through it and stumble and almost kill myself just because I was like, woman, no, I got this. I will hold the door for you. Don't worry about it. I'll drive. I don't care if I can't put weight on it. I'll drive. I got, you know, like, just stubbornly, like, I'm not going to not do. And I went and got, ended up getting one of those boots. And I only wore it for like 2 days, but it was worth it because I could walk normally. I wasn't being aided. And so I just can't fathom that. Ooh. Did you hear that?
I did. What was that?
Lightning.
Was it?
Yeah.
Like, it sounded like things were falling in your shop.
Oh, man, that was lightning. It's actually getting a little stormy out there.
Oh, that means it'll probably be here within, like, you know, 45 minutes or an hour and a half, somewhere between there.
Yeah, enjoy that. Yeah. I think I'm going to head inside. It's getting a little shocking. And I think we're close to time anyway. This was another one of those slow episodes where we're like, hey, you know, it's great Suicide Squad. And speaking of suicide, we're going to talk about it for a half hour.
I do want to say, like, we were talking about celebrities that we, like, actually, you know, whose deaths actually affected our lives. And, like, when Christopher Reeve died, I think I may have said this before, but, like, you know, I actually, like, was, you know, very sad by that, or saddened by that, because when I was a child and I saw Superman for the first time, like, that was inspirational. That, like, made an impression. And, like, even though I didn't, like, go out and buy a bunch of Superman comics, like, you know, he did make me believe that a man can fly. And so when he fell off his horse in 95 and then died in, like, 2007 or whenever it was, you know, I was actually, well, 2006, 2007, anyway. But anyway, yeah, that was actually, like, I remember, like, I was actually saddened by that because, like, you know, a piece of my life had, like, gone into the ether. So thank you, Christopher Reeve, for what you did.
You're welcome, James.
You're such a bastard.
Like, I just, when he died, I was like, well, that commercial's not coming true. You remember that Super Bowl commercial?
Yes, the one where he comes walking out and it's like, oh, we made, you know, we repaired Superman. And he's like, you know, waving at people. Yeah, and like, it's gonna happen one day.
It was like when Columbia exploded. I was like, oh, shit. Because there's a Cowboy Bebop episode.
Bebop, yes. About that.
The dude has rebuilt the Columbia. He's like retrofitted it and takes off into space. And I was just like, ah, that's not going to happen now. That was my biggest annoyance. Like, that's a fair complaint. Something bad happens where it, like, actually affects you personally. I didn't know any of those astronauts. I mean, it sucks that it happens, but it's dangerous. Astronauting is a dangerous business.
It is.
It's the most dangerous piloting you can do. You know, the only reason there have been more fatalities is because there aren't as many astronauts as there are, like, fighter pilots and stuff. Like, yeah. It's a tough gig.
Do you know how many people have gone up on the space shuttle?
No.
355.
Wow.
That actually sounds like a lot, but yeah. But, like, you know, in the grand scheme of, like, 300 million Americans and, like, you know, it lasted for 30 years, only 355 really isn't that many.
I wonder what the number is on astronauts who have never gone to space, because there are quite a few.
Oh, I don't know. I think it's 1,027.
Say what?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I was going to say, where'd you pull that fucking number from? All right, James. Well, I'll see you next week. I don't know if I'm not going to see Avengers before next week. Because I'm crewing The Music Man at Theater Baton Rouge, and tech is all weekend. So I'm going to be in a theater for like 20 hours this weekend.
Fine.
If not 24.
Whatever. We'll never talk about it on the air.
I need to see that. I need to see Mad Max. Mad Max got some really good reviews.
Yeah, Mad Max is cool. It's not one of the two movies that you need to see this year, but I heard it's really good. Stop looking like that. Just bootleg the fucking thing. Come on.
I need to do that. I need to talk to somebody. See about magicking a flick. Anyway, James.
Hail Hydra. I forgot to say that thing.
Oh.
Did you freeze? Oh, you fucking froze. Huh?
Hey, I'm Nick Moore.
I'm James Brown.
And you've been dorked.
Hey, it gets better. Don't commit suicide.
Yeah, unless, you know, you really feel like you
can't be. If you're over 25, then...
If you have a stable job and people that love you and you really don't see any other way out, go for it.
Okay.
But if you have a stable job...
I mean, I'm not saying okay, me.
I don't know. Yeah. I've never put a real stigma on it. But there definitely are cases where you're just like, no, why? That's fucking stupid. But then somewhere you're like, it sucks.
Yeah.
So we'll leave it ambiguous, like everything else.
Yeah. Ambiguity. What? It's ambiguity. Yeah. It's ambiguity.
Bye, James.